Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Ron White, who you guys will all remember from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. One of the funniest of the group, if you ask me. And he'll be coming to Warner Theater here on November 13th. Mr. White, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your fine radio show. I'm running for president, so I may be coming back to live there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, over on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Is it President Tater Salad or President
Could
White?
Be. Yeah, President White. Oh, the White House.
The Ron White House, yeah.
Yeah, the Ron White House. let me tell you this. I just got through doing this interview for Bentonville, Arkansas, which is where Walmart's out of.
Yeah.
And this DJ, he's a, so Ron, you know, he's really exaggerated voice like the 80s and 70s.
Yeah.
And he goes, Ron, any type of celebrity calls our radio station, which I'm sure is all the time, and we always ask them the same question. If you could have a conversation with anybody, living or dead, who would it be? And I said, living.
That's great.
He tried to explain it to me. No, what I'm saying is, if you could pick anybody, whether they're alive, dude, I get it. I'm a joke writer.
He felt the need to over-explain it. He didn't even get the joke. Oh, come on, man.
I know. I'm throwing my pearls to the swine here.
Yeah, I don't think he's voting for President White. he's not in your demo.
Well, there's a big portion of this country that's just ball stupid. So, you know, you can't worry about them anyway. That's your, you know, snake handlers and your meth heads and your, you know, whatever.
So if there was someone dead or alive, which one would you rather do?
I'd rather just talk to an alive person.
Exactly. No, you answered it perfectly. All right. See, at TOP, we get the joke and we roll with it. It's perfect.
Right,
so
there you go.
So what can we expect at the show on the 13th? Let's say maybe some folks haven't been following your comedy since maybe, let's say, the Blue Collar stuff. What kind of stuff are you going to do? What topics do you tackle?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's a pretty scattered shot, but it's what my fans have come to expect. You know, I'm going to gut you like a catfish and leave you laying there on the pier. You know, you'll leave hurt and I won't apologize.
Are you going to, that sounds lovely. We can't wait to get gutted, you know. Are you, are you going to have your,
I'm warm and tender that way.
That shit, I don't know why you don't put that on the marquee, like come in if you want to get gutted.
Right. I think it'd sell tickets like crazy.
Exactly. Did you know you're following Wanda Sykes? She's there this weekend.
No, she's one of my favorite comedians and also one of my favorite people. She is just hilarious, and I just love her to death. I did something that she hosted once back before anybody knew who I was, and she was just a doll to work with. And my wife, who's a singer-songwriter and a voiceover person, can do her perfectly, and it's just hilarious.
Oh, she can impersonate her?
Yeah. Well, she can impersonate anybody, but she or Wanda Sykes is just dead on funny.
I wonder.
I'm at the dentist. I can't do it, but
yeah, no. I want to see her do you though. Actually, can your wife do an impersonation of you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know how they always say like our spouses know us better than we do. Can she act? Does she actually sound more like you than you do?
Well, I don't know about that, but you know what? Who's to say it's not happening already? I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm probably talking to your wife right now and don't even know it.
You could be. I could be her.
Exactly. So,
let me check. Nope, I'm me.
Yeah, okay. As far as we know. So are you going to have, does the Warner Theater let you bring a little glass of alcohol out on stage? I know that's sort of your thing. That and the smoke a little bit, and it's kind of your vibe.
As a matter of fact, let me make sure this is true. I believe that my wife is going to come out and do four songs with her badass guitar player, Jimmy Malis.
Nice.
And if you've never heard Margo sing, you're in for a real treat. She'll sing a whole right straight through you before I gut you. And then her brother, who's my business partner, we own a tequila company together, and we've been doing stand-up together for 30 years. So we started together. And so he'll come out and do 15 minutes, and then I'll come out and do an hour 15. And I'll just smack you around at will. There's nothing you can do about it once you're in the room.
I didn't know you had a tequila company. What's the company?
Number Juan.
Nice.
Like the name. Juan.
Oh, Number Juan. Gotcha. All right. Did that go down pretty smooth? I'm a tequila guy.
Oh, are you? Oh, and it's the best tequila you've ever tasted in your life. We've been in the country for 24 months with it. We've won 9 gold medals, 2 silver medals, and 5 competitions. And all of them double blind taste tests. And that's how we got in the business. He's from Mexico. My wife's family's from Acapulco. And a good friend of his founded on this tequila crawl. And Alex brought it back and said, man, you got to come over to Tequila, Mexico, and you come to this place. And I did. I went over there, and it was just, it's the ugliest, dustiest distillery in all of Mexico. There's like nearly dead dogs laying around. And I'm like, this is it? And
yummy.
Well, you taste it. And so, you know, it wouldn't leave us alone. It was so so delicious. I mean, I don't even drink scotch anymore. I drink my extra añejo. So, but I'm not here to talk about that. But if you go to taterstequila.com, we'll send it right to your house.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have to check that out. So you mentioned
you won't believe it.
You got that whole tater salad joke just really took off. It's to the point that now you're almost, like you just said, you're kind of branding with it now in your own your products and your comedy acts and everything. Are you surprised how much that took off, or did you know it was freaking funny the first time you came up with it?
Oh, I'm surprised any of it took off. I really didn't. I never saw this coming. I never saw this kind of success coming.
Yeah.
Even though it happened to Jeff, you know, and he was standing right next to me when it happened to him, I still didn't see it happening to me. And so I was, as surprised as anybody.
No.
But the popularity of that particular bit, which I've done it one time on stage in 12 years.
Wow.
And that was at Madison Square Garden. I quit doing it. Anytime I film something, I quit doing it. It's the only way to stay relevant and the only way to make yourself work, to replace all of it, to get it out of the act. And so, so I'm coming back with another show. And so that's the way I work. And so I hadn't done that bit in 12 years, but I was going this year. I played Madison Square Garden. I usually play Radio City Music Hall. And I thought, you know what, they'd love it if I did that bit there. And I genuinely didn't know it, because it's 8 minutes long, and I had to go back and get a Blue Collar album out and listen to it 3 or 4 times before I knew it again. And I went out and did it, and it was fine. I won't do it again. But it was fine.
But you got to keep them, you got to keep them waiting for that, and they forced yourself to come up with new stuff, so that's good.
Yeah, it's the way it has to work.
Now you mentioned Jeff Foxworthy a second ago. Were you guys the four of you guys, you, Bill, Larry, and you and Jeff, were you guys close before that tour, or how did that tour actually come together? If our listeners don't know,
well, I was already working with Jeff, and Jeff saw my first show ever. I was on stage in Arlington, Texas, for my first set. I came in and to do a 4-minute set, and I was nervous, and I went straight to the bar and ordered a beer and a shot of tequila. And Alex Raimundo, my brother-in-law now, handed me the beer and the shot of tequila. He was the bartender. And Foxworthy was the headliner in the club that week. And I went up and did my 4-minute set, and I came off, and he said, man, you are funny, but you need to put the punchline at the end of the joke. And I was like, oh, how do you do that? And that's just how generous this guy is.
Right.
You know, his nature is generous. He sits down with a brand new comic and teaches him something about structure, you know?
That's awesome.
And now I can't even imagine how you would do it wrong, but because I've done it for, now I've done it for 29 years.
Sure.
That's the weird thing. That happened 29 years ago.
Wow. That's wild. And I'm sure the blue collar thing is longer ago than we think too, but it's those jokes are still bouncing around in all our heads. So, I mean, hey man, I mean that really, really put you guys on the map. Tell me a little bit do you mind telling me a little bit about each of those guys, just real quick, rapid fire? So say something. I mean, I know you gave a little tidbit about Foxworthy, but what makes him so gifted?
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but he sold more albums than Pryor and Cosby combined.
Wow. I had a couple of them.
Not counting the millions and millions and millions of blue collar albums that you guys bought. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I don't know where I'd be without it.
Right.
And his generosity, my success came from Jeff's generosity to share stage. And so did Bill's, and so did Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're all great guys. They're all dear friends. Dan Whitney's one of the quickest guys off stage mentally. He's the only one of the four of us with a degree. I don't have a high school education, and I'm running for president. So somebody's going to bring that up, I think. But I've got answers for everything. And most of the answers are, I don't know. But, Bill Engvall's just he's just a sweetheart of a man and a dear friend, and I wouldn't know what to do without.
I don't know. It was something about, like, each of the four of you brought something different to the table. It was neither one of you was so much like the other one, but put you all together in the same room, you got a little of everything. Talk about
It was kind of magic, and it seemed like it was when we were doing it, you know, because we had so much fun. And we toured for 3 years, mm-hmm. and most of it on Jeff's plane. But what happened was we combined two tours. It was actually a guy named Craig Hawksley and Bill were touring together, and mm-hmm. Bill was a pretty big comic, and Jeff and I, and Jeff's huge comic. So the Kings of Comedy had just happened, and they were doing huge numbers, and I didn't really know about it, they were going to combine these two tours. And whenever Jeff told me about it, I said, that's retarded. That's how much of a visionary I am.
Yeah.
But it turned into something special and it's something I'll always, hold dear.
Do you guys keep in touch?
In real life, I'm a little rowdy for those boys, to tell you the truth.
They can't hang.
Well, they got corporate stuff and I don't. I had to buy a tequila company to get a sponsor. No, they're all great guys. But, you know, if you take money from Prilosec, you wake up in the morning wondering what Prilosec thinks about what you said. And I don't want to live like that. I want to say whatever I want to say whenever I want to say it. And
you can take whatever you want.
I don't have to. I don't even have to take that.
Oh, that's
and then I'm also, if his life isn't good enough, I got him on a new Showtime series. Start filming in March.
Oh, nice. What's that one about?
It's called Roadies, and it's about this huge rock band, like a Pearl Jam size, maybe. And mm-hmm. But it's about the back of the house. You never see the band, or you didn't in the pilot anyway. And it's written and directed by Cameron Crowe, executive produced by J.J. Abrams.
Dang.
It's a big project. And they picked me to be the road manager. And when I was out reading for it, I told him he'd probably take the easy way out and hire an actor. It was absolutely amazing because my road manager was my best friend for 51 years, and he was dying when I got the call.
Right.
And I was at his bed in Cedar Sinai, and I said, Steve, I'm going to go read for this part. He goes, go get him. You know, he'd been chewed, barbecued, poisoned, anything they could do to save him. And so I went down to Cameron Crowe's office, and I sobbed for 20 minutes and got up and left. And I'm like, well, that didn't go very good. So Steve passed about a month later, and about a month after that, Cameron called me back and said, let's give this a try. and I was still a complete wreck. You know, I lost my best friend.
Yeah.
And my confidant, you know, we were together every day.
Right.
They mulled it over, you know, he and I really got along good. So, and that's what I go by, whether or not I'm going to even take a show is if I don't really like the people, because you're married to them for 7 years.
Sure. You got to eat and sleep and breathe with them for all that time. So,
right. So I'm really excited about this. It's a cool project, and it's only 10 weekends, over 10 weeks a year, so
right.
I can still tour, still do stand-up, which is my first love, and really my only love. Television is not that much fun to do. Stand-up is real fun to do.
Right, I'm sure it's an adrenaline rush. That's different than when you're taking multiple takes of stuff and, you know, shooting out of order and all that stuff. You mentioned Cameron Crowe, so it's called Roadies. Is it like an Almost Famous or like a Spinal Tap, or what's kind of the feel?
No, it's about a real rock band, but it's just about the characters or the people in the back of the house. So it's really just the day to day function of that band as it interacts, with people in their day to day, day to day lives. And Luke Wilson's the lead in it.
Oh, nice.
and Imogen Poots. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah.
Amazing British actress. Although she's a, she doesn't, she speaks with a really flat American accent in this, and does it with no problem at all. It's got a great cast. It's gonna be fun to do.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of people. I mean, she was in when she was in 28 Weeks Later, I think, and I think she was in that movie Need for Speed with Jesse from Breaking Bad. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Right.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, that sounds awesome. What's your specific role in the show?
I'm the road manager.
Okay.
I'm playing my friend.
Gotcha. You're playing the one that passed away. I got you. Dang.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, that sounds, it sounds like it's going to be exciting and, you know, fun and funny and all, but also heavy for you personally to play such a role. So, man, that's going to be
this character is very, very flawed and very emotional. And Cameron doesn't mind using that Steve's death to get to me to find emotion. And there was one time in my life I'd never cried about anything. And now I've had two friends die. Now I can just fall apart anytime. And which makes me a better actor, I guess.
Isn't that funny? You have to go through some really horrible stuff, but then immediately you can just tap into it on stage or wherever you are, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Man, oh man. Well, I know you're coming to Warner Theater for comedy, so we don't want to be all doom and gloom.
Sorry to bring you down.
Yeah, let's bring it back around. No, there's not going to be any crying. Maybe, you know, tears of laughter at Warner Theater, right? But
there will be tears of laughter. There will be.
And even more. We're going to shed at before or after you gut us.
Shed, I'm going to gut you first, then you're going to shed tears of laughter. Tears.
Oh, man.
It's going to be fun. I promise.
Oh, that's going to be fun. All right. Well, I mean, I know you don't like preview any bits because we don't want to blow any of the jokes, but you know, is it going to be, when you come to DC, do you try to make it a little more political? Or is it pretty much the same, you know, set of jokes?
No, it's the show that I'm working on now.
Okay.
So I live in LA. So when I'm here every night, I go out to these clubs. There's the Improv on Melrose. There's a Comedy Store on Sunset, Laugh Factory, and I bounce around to those like all the big comics do, and little comics, and all size comics, and bounce around and work out the beats on new stuff. So this is just a show that I've been working on for 2 years, or ever 3 years, ever since I released A Little Unprofessional, and I still do all that stuff to continue to make these shows. So this is just a show they haven't seen.
Right.
But the jokes get replaced one joke at a time. So I never wipe out a whole show and start over because that's impossible.
Definitely.
So you just one joke at a time. If I write something funny enough to go in, which is very hard to do, then I got to look at it and I got to pull something out, which is very hard to do because I also don't like to get longer than a minute and 15. Or an hour and 15 minutes.
I was going to say, we already passed that in our interview. I'm on borrowed time right now. We've been going way over a minute 15.
So it's just, it's just more me. That's all it is. And it has not slowed down.
That's awesome. Who makes you laugh? Is there anybody out there right now that you that just puts you in stitches?
Dave Attell. You have a chance to see him live.
Yeah.
He's crazy funny. Golly.
Or it could be past or present, too. You know, anybody when you were coming up or anything.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy named Bill Hicks from Houston who probably had more effect on my show or my performances than anybody. And he was he died, too. I'm tail spinning again. Somebody pull me out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, he was just magnificent. Yeah, I saw Chappelle the other day, and that was a great show. Chris Rock might be the best.
Just hysterical.
Living comic. I hang out in the clubs now. And, so I see guys, I don't know their names, that
right.
They go up. I think comedy's in pretty good hands, you know. It looks like the young guys are pretty funny, and some of them, and the old guys seem to be funny. I don't know. I don't really keep up with it that much. I really kind of go in and do my thing and then bounce to the next club and do it again. That's the thing. You can do those bits four times in an hour. And if you're in another city, you can do it once a week at their open mic night. So you have to live by someplace if there's a lot of clubs like this.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. Well, we're definitely all looking forward to having you come here. It's going to be awesome. Warner Theater on, what's the date again? It is the 13th, November 13th. So, you know, get your jokes ready, get the tequila ready, and we'll be waiting for you.
Okay, you got it, man. Hey, thanks a lot for putting me on your radio show. I'm sure you'll be able to carve this down to about 3 minutes.
I'll carve it like you're going to gut us.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, Ron White on WTOP.